you're listening to CJLO 1690 AM. This is the Onomatopoeia Show, where we talk about all graphic arts all the time. And today's show, I promised you Bernie Moreau, but unfortunately that's going to have to wait till next week because WinRAR, you ever hear of that program? That program bit me in the bum. That program, technology, doesn't like me sometimes. Sometimes it does and it works out, but WinRAR and me are not getting along, that silly little compression program. Anyways, hopefully next week we will have this awesome Bernie Moreau interview I keep promising. But this week, at a last minute, I threw it all together, but, you know, like anything, it's not really throwing it together because I read this stuff incessantly. I decided to do the show on fashion illustration. Today, we're going to talk about all sorts of different great fashion illustrators, past and present, because there's so many of them that are so excellent. Now, my theory is the reason why I'm so into fashion illustration, because if you look at me, I don't exactly dress like a haute couture kind of girl. Like, I dress like someone who works in a daycare. And but I just, like, I love fashion so much. Like, I've spent hours sometimes watching fashion television and just looking at what there is. And when I went to the Yves Saint Laurent show at the Museum des Beaux-Arts, I was just so thrown away. I have to say it's probably one of my favorite exhibits ever that I've ever seen, just because, you know, the fashion was up close and personal. You can't really touch it, but you almost could if you wanted to. And it was the variety of fashion styles that Yves Saint Laurent employed was just staggering. So, you know, I love fashion, and my theory is it all stems from Gem and the Holograms, so that's why I started the show off with a Gem and the Holograms theme by a band called Freezer Pop. Now, the very first fashion illustrator that I got into, and I don't even know how I got into them, but this man I adore, and we're going to start with him, because he is like the most eminent fashion illustrator ever. It's Arte. I don't know if you've ever heard of this guy, but as soon as I saw his work, I was flabbergasted and floored. Arte is a fantastic artist who is also a designer. He would do set designs, costume designs, as well as fashion designs, and he's a beautiful illustrator. Now, he came to fame in around the 1910s to the 30s. He was an illustrator. He did a lot of covers for Harper's Bazaar magazine, and he did tons and tons of sets for any theater show you can possibly imagine. Scheherazade, Swan Lake, like so many different things. He's also would do the costume design for the same plays. So he has a really sort of fantastical style in a lot of his art. And you know, his fashion design, of course, it's like the 20s and 30s, so it's very Art Deco influenced. And, you know, there's a lot of draping and aquiline silhouettes of women. But I found that his fashion design itself was very clever. So I just wanted to take a minute to talk about him just a little bit, because and then I'll describe his art, because I really, yeah, you need to know about Mr. Arte. He's the man. Anyways, I have this amazing book called The Fashion Book, and I got it when I was, after I went and saw the Yves Saint Laurent exhibit, and it is like a alphabetical A to Z of all the people in fashion, like designers, illustrators, models, icons. There's just a billion of them. So the section on Arte says, Arte had a highly personal concept of women in fashion. He portrayed the female form in a very stylized manner. Women were exotic goddesses for whom money was no object. As for fashion, he himself said that he did not follow its trends, but that from his creation, each woman could select something that suited her without strictly adhering to the mode. His love of accessories, especially jewelry, is displayed in the picture here. The picture, I'll describe it in a minute. It's stunning. Exemplifies his mastery of precise detail and lavish ornamentation, hallmarks for which he became known as the father of Art Deco. Arte had two major influences, which both came from his native and adopted countries. One was Leon Basque, who we'll talk about in a minute, who is also another fashion illustrator and designer, and Paul Poiret, who is a designer himself. Okay, and the image, oh God, the image, I was just going to not tell you what the beautiful image. The background is pastel blue. There's a big circle in the middle. You're looking at a woman through the circle, so it's sort of like a architectural design. Her clothes are draped over the, like, over the lip of the circle, and the design is just beautiful. It's so freaky and gorgeous colors. in contrasting colors, like he was a master of complementary colors. You know, when you have like two colors on a color wheel and they complement each other because they're opposite of each other. So like with the pale blue, the color that stands out the most is this almost orangey or fiery orange. And then there's like a purple drapery of chiffon. Giant red starburst flowers. And so, and then in behind it all is this woman who's getting her hair done. And she's a beautiful death looking woman because, you know, most Arte's women were really, I find Arte to be just one of those fashion illustrators that I stare at for hours and hours and hours because there's just so much to look at. One of the things about Arte too that is really excellent is he, when he would do his theater designs for the clothing and stuff, he would actually model a lot of what he designed. So every so often when I go through my books of Arte, I'll see these photos of him in his costumes, and it's so adorable. I have so many Arte books. It was really hard to decide which ones to bring in, but I brought in one about color just because. Literally, he is a master of color. There, when you look at one of his paintings, there isn't just one color. It's like a billion colors. One of the colors paintings I'm looking at right now is called Oriental Tale. The background is all black. There's a hand painting the red blob in the middle. The red blob is all fiery, and within that red blob is a sort of a Middle Eastern dancer, belly dancer looking woman, and she's got these giant pantaloons with pearls all over them, and every single pearl is like totally delineated. And then she's this amazing headdress that looks like fiery peacock feathers. Like, oh, I can't explain enough how Arte is just a fantastic, beautiful artist. He suggests so much in his imagery. I mean, I'm looking at one called Debutante, and it's this beautiful sort of Marie Antoinette woman, and she's got her chaperone behind her, and the woman who's her chaperone is just this huge woman dressed all in black, and it's very foreboding, but the woman in front of her, who is the young lady, is very, you know, pale and corseted and pink and ruffly, and it's just beautiful. On another picture I'm looking at, Deception, there's a man hiding within the woman's hoop, and there's holes in the hoop so you can see him. There's, like, his sense of structure is, oh, it's gorgeous. I can't say enough. Like, seriously, if you're bored and listening to me right now and you're sitting at your computer, look him up. Arte, E-R-T-E. It's very simple. And you'll be stunned, just stunned. He also, for his time, was very risque as an artist. He would have a lot of naked men and women, sort of Adam and Eve, and lots of cleavage. And I think it stems from the fact that he's from a theater background. So a lot of this stuff is like dancers. Right now I'm looking at the theater, and it's a golden calf, and there's like these really Art Deco-y women statuettes, but they're hanging off a real woman's arms. It's kind of like a cape with statuettes attached to it, and also the top of the statuette, there's flames. It's so amazing, and yeah, it bears telling you about Arte. His Harper Bazaar covers, his set designs. He even did a series of numbers and letters where it was like people making the shapes of the letters, but it's so beautiful. And he's done, of course, astrology characters. It's so suggestive and interesting. It's a lot like if you've seen that movie Metropolis by Fritz Lang in the 20s, I believe, or maybe it was the 1918. I'm not sure when it came out exactly. But like it's sort of like that movie Metropolis. Now, his actual fashion designs, oh my God, I have to tell you about them. Because I have this one book, it's by Dover, and Dover is amazing for these kind of things. They're really informative and all extensive, very extensive books. And I, you know, I've got like an Aubrey Beardsley Dover book, and Dover, highly recommended. Anyways, the fashion illustrations by Arte, it's called Designs by Arte. There is like hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds of pages. And on each page, there's about six different women in totally different designs. Now, he had some really neat styles that were totally indicative of himself only. Like his sleeve work was just, whether they were in tubes or embroidered or looking like medieval sort of things, or even like bat capes, or they'd be like sleeves within sleeves. He also had a really interesting take on pockets, where sometimes the pockets would be the shape of your hand, or other times the pockets would be like a little foldy flap, like when you put a handkerchief in your pocket, but it would look like the pocket was the handkerchief. He also had a lot of draping and capes. He would do all sorts of things where he would be threading the fabric in and out of bits and pieces of other fabrics, making belts or covers for the chest. he was just so innovative, like not just the color and the design and the style, but just actually the actual construction of the clothes. I mean, as somebody who's worked in a fabric store and who knows how to make clothes, I'm continually stunned by this artist. And in fact, I do have a box at home of fabric that is totally set aside to make my own Erte costume, because it's kind of a dream of mine is to do it. And you need to have the right fabric and you need to pick the right clothes. And yeah, here's my pages of designs of my own Erte. But anyways, as a fashion illustrator, he goes so beyond showcasing fashion. And it bears mentioning that, you know, he came out in a time where they actually really accoladed the fashion illustrator. Their photography wasn't so prevalent in those days. You know, when the 50s and 40s started, a lot of fashion was portrayed through photography. You know, you'd look in your Vogue magazine or you'd look in Life or Style, and it would show you everything through photography. But so towards the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, fashion illustration kind of tapered off as a really viable means of money or an interest, like an actual art form. Like, I, you know, there's not a lot of exhibits on fashion illustration today, but when Erte was coming out, like, it was the only way a lot of these people could see fashion. So his renditions, they really depended on the style of it. And he was very clean and faithful to the fashion that he did. Like, a lot of fashion illustrators are very suggestive, like, especially in the current trend. They all have, like, you know, two lines to suggest a whole bunch of stuff, which is also interesting, which we'll talk about shortly. Anyways, you're listening to CJLO 1690 AM. This is the Onomatopoeia Show, the show about graphic arts, when we talk about all graphic arts. And today we are talking about fashion illustrators. We started a little early with fashion illustration from the 1910s to 20s. I'm going to talk about Georges Barbier in a minute. But let's go to some music. There's a lot of talk about one guy named Erte. So I could go on and on. He's so awesome. I could go on and on. Anyways, last week I got to hang out with some friends and we watched the silliest Japanese movie in the world. And I actually fell asleep during it. It was so silly. But afterwards I got to see an excellent, amazing cartoon that was like a Russian cartoon from the 70s. And it was so beautiful. It was like totally rotoscope. So I'm completely in debt to Rupert Bottenberg for showing that to me. And he actually gave me this little exceptional selections of Rupert CD that he made, which I think is pretty cool, you know. It's his 2008 top whatever, I guess. And there's more than 8 tracks on the CD, but it's sweet to, you know, and it's a good way to get all sorts of people into all sorts of different music. So I'm going to play a couple of tracks off of this collection that he made. The first track is called is by a group called The Saturday Nights, and the song is called Surf Song. I don't know anything about this group, but it's pretty new, and I hope you like it too, because there's some neat stuff on here. There's like I like the Daedalus, and there's some Ben Folds and some Gnarls Barkley, but I want to play the stuff that not a lot of people get a chance to hear. So yeah, here is The Saturday Nights with The Surf Song. Yeah.
Sissy, card the check. Your booty poop through the trunk. Pack a box cutter in a wet suit. Cut your leash and your fucking stick out the sea dope. Walk on the Ventura Beach for watch your feet. There's oranges in the sand. It's a Point Break. And you ain't more chopping some chest McCauley. Juggle that eye. And dude's a fag. Where you get that jacket? short shorts. Girls wear short shorts. Girls wear short shorts. Girls wear short shorts. Yeah.
Time. Fridays at 8 on CJLO.
And you're listening to 1690 AM, or if you're at your computer, it's www.cjlo.com. And this is the Onomatopoeia Show, where we talk about all graphic arts all the time, because we love that comic-y goodness. Today we're talking about fashion illustrators, because there's a whole bunch of them that are awesome and fantastic, and you need to know about them. I should also mention, too, that a lot of these fashion illustrators that I'm talking about now, because we're talking about like the late 1800s to 1930s, 1940s, a lot of them showed up in a book called, or rather a magazine called Gazette du Bon Temps, a French magazine. It came out in 1912. It was revolved around arts and fashions. And then in 1925, Condé Nast bought it and turned it into Vogue. So there's the history of Vogue magazine in 2 seconds. Ba-ding! Anyway, okay, blah, blah, blah. I also wanted to talk about Georges Barbier, because he's really good. Georges Barbier was prolific during the 1912 to the 1930s. He would juxtapose really interesting images with the fashion. So, for example, one of the illustrations he did that I really like is a woman letting go of a caged bird, and the bird's in the tree, and she's kind of, you know, reaching her arms up to see it, or to, like, you know, to the bird. But the thing that's really interesting is the clothes she's wearing is very confining, and she's surrounded by all these strands of pearls, so she herself is also confined like a caged bird. Pretty clever, eh? Also, another image would be, you know, this beautiful woman, she's wearing this gorgeous sort of dress. This is like 1912. But she's bent over an aquarium playing with a fish. So he didn't just show, like, the clothes. Like, something was happening. There was always some kind of suggestion of a story about to occur. And his backgrounds, oh my God, his backgrounds were insane. Like, Arte would do a drawing, and it would focus on the person or the fashion or, you know, their clothes. But Barbier, when he would do his fashion illustration, his backgrounds were almost a part. They were so in your face that they were such a part of the art as well as the actual clothes. So, like, it was very elaborate, his backgrounds. They were really interesting. Let's see here. He was very prolific and very innovative. He had one illustration called Farewell, and it was the end of a party. And I thought, you know, this is a really great way to show off some fashion. Like, instead of just saying, you know, okay, well, here's two dresses, and, like, these ladies are talking, and here's their two dresses. You know, he had the host and hostesses bidding farewell to the people at the end of the party. So there's all these cards being drawn up, and there's about 30 or 40 people. Well, okay, that's an exaggeration. Maybe 15 people waiting for their ride and saying goodbye. And so he had this opportunity to show all these different forms of fashion, which I think Mr. Barbier is quite clever. He was Paul Poirier's fashion illustrator for a while from 1882 to 1932. He was born in 1882 and he died in 1932. And Paul Poirier, of course, is the designer that Arte would also illustrate for. He also had this amazing balance of color and pattern. Like, the backgrounds did not overpower the illustrations, but your eyes were still drawn. He gave equal attention to composition and to the clothes. And I find George Barbier to be a very interesting fashion illustrator. And I have another book at home. It's like Fashion of the Art Deco Period. And he is all over that book, man. He's everywhere in that book, Mr. Barbier. Very, very busy, prolific guy. Another person I wanted to get into here. Let's see, who else did I cover them all? I'm looking at what I brought with me. Oh, is Benito. Mr. Benito was born in 1892 and he lived until 1953. They considered him the Art Deco master. He would use very simple strokes to show a lot, and it still looked very extravagant. He was the pioneer of drawing women slim and statuesque. So he would elongate their form to, I guess, better showcase the dress. And he kind of was one of the people that made that form very appealing during the 20s. You know, all the flappers, they were very flat and skinny and tall and long. He would also seem to be inspired by Modigliani, who is also another painter who made people look really long and skinny, and Picasso as well. He would use very simple backgrounds, but he would also add some humor to it. So in one illustration, I saw this woman, she was reaching for her umbrella, but off to the left was this little chow chow dog just kind of slobbery staring at her. I guess he was waiting for a walk outside. So he would tell a lot with showing the illustration as well, just by little things in the background. He drew for Vogue and he epitomized the jazz age. And one of the things that I really liked about him is the fact that he, with the elongation of the figure of the women that he drew, he also was really good at drawing your eye to where it was supposed to go. Because, you know, like that one I was telling you about with the dog is the last thing you see, because I can't explain it. Your eyes just sort of travel upward, doesn't look at the clothes, and then they go down and you follow the detailing of the sleeve as she reaches for the umbrella. And then your eyes travel down to her feet where the dog is. Like, it's really beautiful and graceful, and it's just, you know, a simple fashion illustration. You know, back in those days, the 20s and 30s, it was an amazing art form. And the last person I want to tell you about during the old days, as I called them, was a man named Leon Bast, who also influenced Arte. He was an illustrator as well as a designer because he brought theater designs to the fashion industry. He promoted Orientalism in haute couture. So he brought the styles from China over and made them part of the theater design community, which then, of course, went on to become part of the haute couture. And he also did highly detailed designs in his fashion. So, Arte would use a lot of lines for draping and bunching and stuff. But Bast, you know, would spend hours on lace gowns, and he would just, you know, draw every little bit of the lace. It was really highly detailed. He also used very, very bold colors and was popular from the 1900s to 1915. So that's Leon Bast, if you want to check him out. Who else can we talk about? Well, I guess we can go to another song. Yeah, we're going to go to a song. There's no rhyme or reason to this music that I picked today. I grabbed some new stuff and I grabbed some Canadian content. And yeah, it's all over the map. So I hope you like it. It's not so bad, is it, so far? I'm going to play some Metric for you. This is my Canadian content. And this is Poster of a Girl. Metric makes me think of fashion. I don't know why. Maybe because she's so cool, Miss Emily Haynes. But I can really see this kind of music being played on the catwalk. So that's kind of why I picked it. And plus, it's Canadian content. Anyways, you're listening to CJLO 1690 AM. This is the Onomatopoeia Show, where we are talking about fashion illustration. And this is Metric.
Can't stand by myself.
you're listening to 1690 AM. This is CJLO. That was Metric from their album Live It Out, Poster of a Girl. And you're listening to the Onomatopoeia Show, where we talk about all the graphic arts all the time. And today's show is about fashion illustrators. But we're going to do some news quickly here. Let's see. I get this really great feed. I think I told you guys about it a couple weeks ago. It's a sequential. It was put together by Max Douglas, and I love it. I mean, it makes my job really easy because it gives me all the news, the comic news around Canada. And one of the things they were talking about was this new program that the Ontario Arts Council has done, where they're subsidizing this woman, Martha Newbigging, who is a children's book illustrator, to go to various grade schools and teach the children how to do comic books. So an example would be, they have a penguin in the Bahamas, a disappearing cat, and a dinosaur that gets bullied by a T-Rex. And these are all characters that this Bayside Public School have put together in their Fabulous Fantasies, a 60-page comic book. Which it's, you know, these are grade fives and grade six classes. I've done this too, where I've taught kids of this age how to do comics. And it's a lot of fun because, you know, they don't realize how freeing it is, how much you can do and how many different styles and formats you can create. One of the greatest things I read about this in this article was the woman was saying the kids really get into it. It's good for the kids of all different levels who can put their stories into pictures. And the best thing about this that I read in the article is one student said she felt like she could draw anything now, and the process helped her self-confidence. So like, it makes me feel so warm and fuzzy inside to know that comic books can do this to other people. And I'm really glad that this woman, Martha Newbigging, thought of doing this class and is doing it. Yay, comics in the classroom. Let's see what else. There's a big exhibit in Dundas, Ontario, if you're around there and you love comics. They've put together an exhibit about Seth's Dominion City. It's a series of little city, like little houses and buildings that he's done out of paper and cardboard. And he's like created this little miniature city. Let's see here. How it fits into the history of post-war and small town Ontario. So obviously the buildings are all based on various Ontario houses. And one of the other things that they did that I thought was really interesting is they included an old style theater with a selection of NFB shorts that was curated by Seth. So that's pretty cool. I was looking at the Drawn and Quarterly website recently, and there's going to be a boxed set of 32 stories by Adrian Tomina, which I don't really know much about because they haven't really said much about it, but I'm very curious. I mean, I, of course, have the original. I don't understand what's going to be in the box set. And yet another cash grab, of course. I was in Indigo yesterday because I had to buy the new Nana, of course. And it was a good Nana, of course. And actually, because I just started rereading them all again. And Ayazawa, man, she grabs me every time. But anyways, the thing that I saw in Indigo that I thought was really bizarre is there's like three new giant hardcover art books dedicated to the new Watchmen movie. And it's like a total media frenzy cash in, because one of the books is just character shots of the actors in costume, like every bit character that is in the movie. These beautiful glossy black and white pictures. And anyways, I mean, I'm excited about it too. And obviously you'll get reviews and all that sort of stuff. But at the same time, it's just a movie. Come on, guys. It's not the beginning of all things, nor the end of all things. Another thing they had on the Drawn and Quarterly website that I thought was pretty neat was a new book they're going to be selling at the Drawn and Quarterly location on Bernard, which is just off of Park. It's called Paul Klee's Hand Puppets. And I didn't know this, that he did these puppets. You know, Paul Klee is an amazing artist that was around during the, 1900s to the 1940s. He did a lot of interesting work that was very non-representational. But this book is about hand puppets that he created for his son between 1960 and 1925. Some are directly inspired by his colleagues over at the Bauhaus School or by popular political figures. Others are reminiscent of the art styles that influenced Paul Klee throughout his career. On top of gorgeous photographs, the book contains an introductory essay that tracks the work's link to other avant-garde puppetry and to Klee's original sculptural works. So this is really interesting. Like, I'm very curious to see this book because, you know, I enjoy Paul Klee's work. It's accessible to children for some reason. And the fact that he's doing puppetry makes it even more exciting. The other thing I saw at Indigo that I should mention that I've been dying to get, and I will eventually get it when I have some money, but they've done an amazing hardcover book and it all about the history of Sesame Street. So I'm very curious about that. And last thing I wanted to mention is in the news. It's not really news, but last night I went to a show with my friend Rico, and I forget what the place was called. Inesco? I'm not sure. It was some dingy little bar on some street somewhere in Montreal. I almost said in Vancouver. Because we talked a lot about the Vancouver sights and sounds that we missed. But it was a really good show. It was the band that opened up was Truth or Scare, and they were like totally in sort of Halloween garb, and they were all glow in the dark skeleton, which was really, and they were loud and awesome. They were really good. Then after that, we saw Bloodshot Bill, and he was playing with Ronnie Hayward, and they were actually really good. I quite enjoyed them. They kind of do this sort of rockabilly, you know, throwback 50s Buddy Holly thing, and Bloodshot Bill has got a voice to be reckoned with, that's for sure. And it was a really good night. It was very interesting, and of course there's lots of beautiful eye candy to look at for me and Mariko. Anyways, I think if a Truth or Scare, if they play another show, I'm definitely going. I was quite impressed with those guys. If you need, you know, your loud, heavy punk rock fix, that's, I would go with Truth or Scare, because not only were they fun and interesting, they were good. Anyways, that's what I did last night, and that's the end of the news. We're going to go to another track. This track is from my friend Rupert's Exceptional Selections of 2008. This is, what am I playing? Oh, The Faint. I don't know anything about this band, although their name sounds familiar. But this song is awesome. It's called The Geeks Were Right, and it really cracks me up. You're listening to CJLO 1690 AM, www.cjlo.com if you're on the internet. And when we come back, we'll talk some more about fashion illustrators, because that's what I like to talk about, and that's what we're going to talk about. Blah, 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 blah. All that to say, here's The Faint. Listen to CJLO 1690 AM. This is the Onomatopoeia Show, where we talk about all graphic arts, all the time. And right now we're talking about fashion illustrators. And again, I'm running out of time. There's so many old school fashion illustrators I want to tell you about before I get to the new school ones, like Charles Gibson, who created the Gibson Girl. He did this really amazing, super intricate style with lots of fine pen lines. And he was out during the 1900s. And he started a whole trend of women and their hair and their styles. There was also, you know, Jean Cocteau, Cocteau did fashion illustration, and Salvador Dali also did fashion illustration, and a lot of the surrealists incorporated their style into fashion, and or their fashion into their style. So they did some really neat stuff. There's some excellent fashion illustrators in this world, and nobody knows anything about them. Anyways, I'm going to talk about some of the more modern ones because I love them. One of the people I got into recently is this guy named René Grau. And René Grau did a lot of stuff for Dior. He has very simple lines. And in fact, if you're wandering around the metro stations and you see those ads with those really tall, skinny women with giant skirts, but they have like cosmetics for body, for clothes, you know, like the lipsticks or anyways, those are René Grau women. And they were incorporating his fashion illustration style, advertised cosmetics currently. Isn't that interesting? Another person that's totally, totally influenced by René Grau is Tim Sale. Now, Tim Sale is a comic book illustrator who has been gotten pretty famous recently for doing the art for Heroes, the comic Heroes. And he also is very similar in style to René Grau. René Grau was very simplistic in his style. He used a lot of beautiful brushwork and a lot of gorgeous, lush colors. And it was the color and the simple black line that really blew up in your face when you looked at his art. And so Tim Sale has been known to incorporate those same tools. And you can totally see Grau in his work. One of the things I found really funny about René is that I recently read an article where he was talking about his retirement. And he, of course, like Arte and some of the other fashion illustrators, he was gay. And in the article, he was talking about how he was never, ever going to illustrate a woman again, ever, the end, period, done, over and done with. And his partner was like, the interviewer was like, well, why? You know, like, what's your problem? And then his partner was like, look, he's been drawing women his whole life. He's now retired and he wants to draw what he wants to see. And I thought, you go, René, you draw what you want to draw. So his work, he's like definitely an illustrator you could hang up with pride on your wall and be like, no, this is art. This is not just fashion illustration. René Grau. And if you have trouble spelling that, it's oatmeal in French. I learned that too recently. Okay, so let's go to some of the more current ones, because I have these two amazing books, and you can get these books at any bookstore anywhere that has like new books. Even I'd imagine, you know, like little known used bookstores, because I've even seen them in those magazine stores that just carry magazines in the city. I forget what those stores are called, the mega magazines, multi-mags. Anyways, there are two books on fashion illustration, current fashion illustration. And, you know, it's interesting because a lot of comic book artists are doing fashion illustration now. It's kind of bizarre. There's guys like Paul Pope. I've seen him do some fashion illustration, which is not really a big surprise when you consider Paul Pope's total comic book rock star. But also one that was pointed out to me by my friend Don King was Lorenzo Mattotti. Now, Lorenzo Mattotti is an Italian illustrator, and he uses, a comic book artist too, he uses pastel crayons, and like the textures that he gets are unreal with his, or he'll use like charcoal. He's very similar to Enki Bilal in texture of his art, not in style at all. So Lorenzo Mattotti's done like Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, the comic, and he's appeared in all sorts of stuff, you know, published in English by Catalan and MBM, but I've never seen his fashion illustration, and my friend Don showed me some of it, and it is amazing. Like, this man, I really, really, really like his fashion illustration almost more than his comic book work, just because it's so in your face and beautiful and interesting and innovative and fluid, and oh, it's nice stuff. Mattotti, I highly recommend him as a fashion illustrator. He's really interesting. Now, this book, Fashion Illustration Now, has some really neat things in it. You know, they've got, you know, fashion illustration with watercolor, fashion illustration with printmaking, and you know, texture designs and airbrushing, and you know, fashion illustration just using mixed media with paper and print. It's so beyond what one would expect, and it's so much fun. There's this woman, Carlotta. I swear I've seen her work in comic books before, but she's done work for Vogue and Elle, and it's really cute, really neat stuff. And
of course, it accentuates the fashion. The colors are interesting. Sometimes it's just like very simple watercolors. Other times it's really highly stylized comic book art, like this girl, Karaz. Or no, sorry, it's a boy. It's a boy, Karaz. I thought it was a girl because the style is so girly. But it, like, that's the thing. I mean, admittedly, a lot of the kind of art that I like is very clean and stylized. So fashion illustration is like right up my alley. And, you know, sometimes they really create some interesting things. Like, I'm looking at this one by Jordi Labanda, and it's to show off a shirt and a skirt. And so you have this woman and she's leaning up against a tree, but you don't see the woman's head or arms because she's in the shade of the tree. So she's covered in the shade. But what you do see very definitively is the shirt and the skirt. Other comic book artists have done fashion illustration. I remember a really funny story by Art Spiegelman where he was talking about how when he was the art director for Details Magazine, he got Charles Burns to do a fashion spread for them. And of course, Charles Burns does really creepy, crawly, icky things. And he did these lizards and these sort of lava pit backgrounds and it wearing the suits, right? And of course, it was too much for Details Magazine. They were just like, could you just have like human people in these really fantastical backgrounds in the suits? Because, yeah, Charles Burns is funny. Another comic book artist that I love, who's Canadian, actually, incidentally, is Maurice Velikoop. And I keep finding his work in all sorts of fashion magazines, and that's because he loves fashion. And his style is very, very cool and hip, so it fits really well. And I just, even when you look at his art book, Velavision, you can totally see his influence and love of fashion. So, I would totally, you know, if you want a really good assortment of fashion styles and interesting colors and just cool things, just check out any Fashion Illustration Now book. We're going to go to another track quickly, and then we're going to talk about the last book, which I have. It's called Mondo Fragile, which is Modern Fashion Illustrations from Japan. We're going to play something from Estero because I really like her. And, you know, not a lot of people seem to know lots about her. And she was super huge long before Nelly Furtado. And anyways, the song I'm going to play is called Original Bitch. And I kind of think that this is like her calling out of Nelly Furtado, even though they are friends and they have done songs together, actually. But I don't know. I like to imagine that, yeah, Estero's like, look, I'm the original one. You're just copying me. Anyways, you're listening to CJLO 1690 AM. This is the Onomatopoeia Show where we talk about all graphic arts all the time. And this is Estero, lover or hater. Think what you want, but I think she's the bee's knees.
Suppose you think that you know me now. Yeah, I bet you got it all figured out. And you try and pick apart the shit that I do all the while. The grass, the fame has got you.
You're so vain.
You don't even notice that corruption surrounds you.
You don't even notice
so many circles around you.
Stole my
Are you tired of listening to the same song over and over again? Are you sick of wrinkles and bad skin? Contaminate yourself with some fungi music. It's a play on words. Yeah, we do that. Are you tired of cankles? Cankles, you know, when someone has no ankles. So listen to The Reactor, Fridays 2 to 4. Reactor, Reactor, Reactor.
Wow, I'm so running out of time. You're listening to CJLO 1690 AM. This is the Onomatopoeia Show, the show about comic books and all graphic arts all the time. You know, what we like to talk about. But right now we're talking about fashion illustration. That was Estero from her original Bitch EP. That was the song, Original Bitch. I'm running out of time. There's so much I want to tell you about. There's like Joe Eula that I never got to tell you about. He was a fashion illustrator in the 80s. Like, he was the go-to guy for a lot of magazines. He had like really free, vivid colors, and with a very simple line, he captured a lot of movement, and he was basically epitomized the 70s and 80s. He was in all sorts of places like French's Harper Bazaar and the Sunday Times in London. He actually even went into television working for movie stars such as Lauren Bacall. Let's see, he worked for Halston, illustrated for Vogue, and he was also the head of the Costume Institute at the Metropolis Museum of Art. So that's Joe Eula. I can't say it properly. It's E-U-L-A. But back in the 80s, when fashion illustration was like pretty much non-existent, he was still doing it, which is great. Quickly, I want to talk about this other book that I really like. It's called Mondo Fragile. If you can find it, get it. It's modern fashion illustrators from Japan. And the style, the variety of style is amazing. It's so, so, so out there. Like, you'd swear you were looking at European art, or you were looking at like Zimbabwean art. Like, it's just, it's so all over the place. It's French, it's Italian. You don't really know. It could even be American, but actually it's all Japanese. And like, half the time it's super cute and the designs are great. A lot of it's done on the computer. But I highly recommend this book. It's called Mondo Fragile. I think it was a little expensive. A lot of these fashion illustration books are a lot of money, actually. I got this book a long time ago, so I don't really remember how much it was. But it was worth it. I can tell you that much. It was totally worth it. And it was put together by two Italian artists who call themselves Delicatessen. And it, like, they have the eye, because there's so much variety. I can't stress that enough. And there's like a bajillion different artists. Like, there's at least a total of, you know, let's see here. Yeah, each section has like 10 artists. So that's about 30 different artists right there. So Mondo Fragile, beautiful, beautiful fashion illustration book. And a lot, you'd be surprised. There's so many cartoonists these days that are involved in fashion illustration. Anyways, before we quickly go, I want to tell you guys about my website, because actually it's kind of coming together slowly but surely. There should be one podcast up right now, one audio archive file that you can listen to, which would be the first show. Within the next 2 days, I should have two more shows put up, because the shows are done. They just got to get posted. And the other thing that's been happening that's pretty exciting to me is that I've been re-recording my old shows. I don't know if I told you about this last week, because I've been doing it for the last couple of weeks. But I've just been taking my old Onomatopoeia shows from like years and years ago and just putting them on the computer and editing them, and eventually they'll be uploaded onto the website as well. And the website is www.cartoongal.com. So eventually you'll get to hear me stutter and go ah and and sound really bad, and you'll get to hear my old co-hosts Colin Upton and Don King and my other old co-hosts. And there's some really good interviews and stuff, like with Neil Gaiman and Harvey Picar, and some interesting shows about heavy metal and Scott Morris and the Hernandez brothers. So it's like a lot of variety of stuff. So eventually, within the next week, there should be a ton of content on cartoongal.com. But currently there's just one show, but it's getting there. So I'm very excited. I'm very happy. Anyways, with that in mind, I was listening to, I think it was Heavy Metal, the Heavy Metal show I did, that I put some Korn on it. And I forgot I really liked these guys. I liked them a long time ago, like their first two albums. After their second album, I wasn't so into them, but Korn really had it going on for a while. And I, you know, sometimes you just really need to break out the heavy bass and the heavy guitar and just scream. So this is Good God with by Korn off their album Life is Peachy. You're listening to CJLO 1690 AM. This was the Onomatopoeia Show. Stay tuned next for Lonesome Stranger, which is a totally awesome rad show. I'm so excited about the shows that I'm sandwiched between. You guys, you should be listening before me and after me, because the music is good. Anyways, without further ado, here's some corn for you. Next week, Bernie Merle.
Shit. It's over.